Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 7:14 now, hot and humid today, highs in 90, maybe not as humid tomorrow, but as hot summertime feels throughout the weekend, highs of 90, Sunday, first official day of autumn, but that doesn't really mean a lot for us here. And there is some tropical weather there. We're going to watch down in the Caribbean. Don't let the models freak you out or anything else. It's far too early, and we'll let you know if there's anything that you need to be concerned with. Some businesses are concerned with getting paid by the state and local governments. Glenn Womack joins us now, Louisiana State Senator, to talk about a task force that's been formed to look at that. How you doing, Senator?
Good morning. Doing well.
Tell me about, I always like to learn about the state. Tell me a little bit about Harrisonburg, is it?
Yeah.
It's in a pretty part of the state, is it not? A lot of national forests and so forth, or state forests?
It's on the edge of some forest there. We fall off kind of border the Washita River, where we have delta on one side and some, hills on the other side, so... back in the day, they tell me it lacked just one electoral vote being the state capital. So that was
really
back in the day. So, yeah, it's got some history. Beauregard, yeah.
And that's long country, mm-hmm. too, right, with Faraday and Winsboro
right.
and all that stuff. I always like to learn about the state. So maybe I'll take a ride up there one day. Tell me about this task force and how much of a problem is it, Senator?
Well,
not the task force. How much of a problem is it that led to the formation of the task force? I worded that poorly.
Formation of the task force. Well, we've had over the years, anybody that served in legislation as a legislator has had calls about, trying to get paid and why can't we get paid and I hadn't been paid and it just gets further and further out. And in my previous occupation as a contractor, I've dealt with some of that. So, we try to pull it in and find some of that. Why can't we get paid? Why can't the contractors and the subcontractors, material suppliers, why can't they get paid? And so we're trying to flush out and kind of bring it to a head of what works and what doesn't work and why isn't it working? Because it's an ongoing problem across our state. And we know that if you get paid in a timely manner, you're not bankrolling the job. You're not building the job and getting paid later, which slows down the cash and capital of any company. So we're trying to go through that to see what works and don't work and what we can do to modify to help get our people paid as a state entity, paying our bills in a timely manner to where, we can get a better bid next time or more competition to come to the table and says, hey, they pay in a timely manner. We don't have to bankroll them. We don't have to use our own finances to build a project because of some maybe small technicality or this is, we live in a 21st century here. There's technology. There's several things out there that we want to make sure that everyone is utilizing to the best efficiency to move the money once it's appropriated. The legislature goes through that and actually appropriates this money and puts projects on the street. But, getting those projects kicked off and getting our contractors paid has just been an ongoing problem for years.
And to be clear, we're not talking about net 30 days or net 90 days on a box of staples or anything like that. You're talking about big money projects here, right, Senator?
Right. We're talking big money projects. Yeah. And some agencies are able to do it. We in the agency's defense, a lot of this is match money. So it could be federal money coming down. It could be local money matching that money. But it's just bottlenecking somewhere there that we've got to figure out how to, you know, kind of put it in a pot like we would our personal. If we had a personal project going, the builder or the contractor, he would get paid ever how the terms were set, monthly, weekly, whatever it was. But we wouldn't be going through every channel of how that money got to that pot. We would put that money in, we'd either save it and have it in an account and know that we could afford to spend that money, and it would be dispersed that way. But when you have different agencies, federal agencies, state agencies, local agencies, local municipalities, whatever it may be, all trying to get their part paid to this contractor in a timely manner, and with the holidays, with the vacation, with the people in place, how do we really put that together to where people are getting paid in a timely manner? So we're hoping to flush some of that stuff out and kind of bring it to surface as to if we can get all the players, and everybody seems to be very forward in trying to help us with this project and task force to pull it all together and see what's working in one place and what best practices are out there.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I worked in construction management for a while as I was attending the University of Life in between the stints at the University of New Orleans, which taught me sometimes as much as I did learn at the university. So we'll pick it up. We come back with Senator Glenn Womack. And we're going to specifically talk about when he says bankrolling the job, how much money is involved and how that can be a big hindrance. When you're talking about a lot of money and construction companies that are out of pocket for money and they're waiting to get reimbursed, then they got to meet payroll and they got to pay for materials and everything else. It can be a challenge. More when we come back. If you've ever done business with the government, had a hard time getting paid, be it state, federal, local, I'd love to hear from you on the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870 and hear about those challenges that you may have faced. 721 Traffic Now, WW.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Well. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with Senator Glenn Womack from Harrisonburg about a task force they've formed to look at contractors getting paid more quickly when they do business with state government. Somebody texted in and said, we're a major subcontractor on the SWBNO new power station uptown. They've been paying in a normal pace about 45 days after the invoice has been approved. Is it specific to any agency or state or anything like that that you notice, in Senator?
Not really. It'll be different agencies. Some pay on time, and you may get one on time, and then the next month it may be a 60-day pay or a 90-day pay, because of some technicality. Mm-hmm. And some funding agencies look at if it's a one-line item, it may be short or may not be an agreement. They would turn the whole estimate back instead of marking it up and catching it on the next time. Well, when you have anywhere from a $500,000 to, $3 to $5 million estimate that's turned around over $50,000, then you just bankroll that job for those 60 or 90 days till you get it cleaned up. So those are the kind of things that we I think we would work toward to try to, not that it's not right, but it's just the fact that you're holding, because that prime has, contractor has got to pay all those subs. Now he didn't get that, the estimate that he sent in, because it was a $50,000 mistake on the estimate, maybe a line item, a bid or something. So it throws him to have to keep the job moving over that one mistake that is not marked up and making communication to where it's like next month we'll have this cleared up and we'll get you paid for that one item, but the rest of the items are all right, so we're going to go ahead and process this payment. So it's just different, and I'm probably being high on that, but there are estimates out there that's easily that size.
So is this something that has to be done legislatively through law or just procedurally with the different agencies?
That's what we're hoping, hoping that legislation hadn't got to be passed. And that's the reason we're bringing everyone to the, you know, that we can to the table and work it out, maybe with all the players to talk about best practices and how we can change that. Because I think some of them could be internally changed without legislation having to be passed. One thing that comes out of this is people start to think and start to come up with different ideas about how it would work. I had one yesterday, guy walked up to me and said, have we thought about, you know, if you get paid within a certain amount of time, you can knock a percentage off of the pay estimate to where that actually saves the state money. If they have the incentive to try to work through your estimate and get you paid in a timely manner, whatever those dates are set in the pre-construction meeting, then there's an incentive for the state to really work on that estimate and get this contractor paid, because there's a back end benefit to the state of saving 0.25 or 1% or whatever that would be. But those are just ideas that start coming in to the top when you start bringing this kind of stuff up, you know, because a lot of the contractors has got that money borrowed at the bank for cash flow purposes, you know.
Right.
And this way, this would kind of like, hey, it's cheaper to take it on this end than to have to build the whole job and then wait on payment. And that
incentive
has definitely happened to a lot of contractors.
Incentive being the key word, could be a win-win. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time. Senator Glenn Womack talking about a way to get businesses paid more promptly by the state. Could wind up working out for both. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the problem they're having at a no-kill animal shelter in St. Tammany Parish right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller. 7:46 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Nothing just happens, and a lot of people work hard to keep a lot of things moving in society. And I say that as I'm getting ready to talk to Rob Bremer, director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish. I'll also add before I bring Rob on that every action has a reaction, right? So people that do not have their dogs spayed or neutered, for people that irresponsibly release dogs and dogs that are eventually taken to a shelter, somebody is either going to have to work very, very hard at a no-kill shelter to keep those animals alive, or somebody's going to have to put those animals down, which is not a pleasant task, which means even though you're not at the sad end of that story of irresponsibly letting your animals breed or releasing them, somebody does have to pay that price ultimately. With that, we welcome in Rob Bremer. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, Tommy. How you guys doing today?
I'm all right. Tell me what's going on. Tell me about the shelter, first of all. It's pretty apparent what a no-kill shelter means, but having done some work before and been involved a little bit with no-kill shelters, I know how passionate the people that work there are.
Absolutely. My staff is top notch. I've got a huge team of compassionate animal lovers on my staff. Right now at the shelter, we were over capacity before Francine, and we saw a big old surge come in the day of and the days following Francine, which just pushed us over our limit. You know, our biggest concern at the shelter We're an open admission shelter, right? So we can't turn parish residents away if they want to surrender it or surrender a stray or one of their own dogs. And we've been kind of treading water for the better part of a year and a half and still making it work. But it's just been really hard on everyone. We're all very tired. And this recent surge of pets coming in, it put us over our limit. Like I said, we were already over capacity. And, you know, no-kill is a life-saving philosophy. You know, you're trying to do everything you can for each individual pet and make the best medical and behavioral decisions for them that you can. And as far as placement options, you're looking for the best home for them. You know, we work with rescue partners. Unfortunately, a lot of them are full, too. You know, society view on animal ownership is a big spectrum, and it seems like a constant uphill battle. I know my predecessors have been fighting this good fight for many, many years before me, possibly even decades before me. And every time we gain a little ground, then some novelty breed comes around, and then we get flush with all of the offshoot from the backyard breeding. And that's not a dig at any responsible breeder, but there's a lot of backyard breeding going on, a lot of non-permitted breeding going on, and we definitely need to make sure that we're tending to those things and trying to get on the front end of this problem rather than the back end. Pet overpopulation is a serious issue in the state of Louisiana and across the South, really across the country. You know, there's this perpetuated myth that everything up north is like rainbows and butterflies, and it's not. You know, I speak to my northern partners all the time. They're in the same predicament as us. They seem to have a larger population along the greater metro areas up there, so it just doesn't seem that way. But I know a lot of the focus is on the South, and we definitely need the help. like I said earlier, you know, we've reached out to a lot of our northern partners. They just can't take what they were taking over the past couple of years from us anymore. They're finding themselves in the same predicament, being over capacity as us. And to get to the main point of all this, being over capacity alone isn't bad in small amounts, but it's a sustained, extended over capacity issue that makes a drop in the quality of care. And you know, everyone at my animal shelter is an animal lover. Nobody wants to euthanize an animal, especially just for space. But ultimately, we have a finite amount of room. We have a finite amount of resources. I mean, there's a whole bunch of complex other issues that go there with staff burnout, you know, losing man hours, losing staff. There are so many things tied into it that put a really big stranglehold on the shelter system. And basically all we're asking, Tommy, is for the community that we serve to help us. You know, animal shelters should be community centers. Animal shelters shouldn't just be a place in the woods where you bring your animals when you don't want them anymore. It should be a last resort. It should be a safety net for the animals who are truly in bad situations. It shouldn't just be a convenient location to drop off the novelty animal that you wanted for 2 months until it started doing something you didn't want it to do, like peeing on the floor, and then you don't want to address the behavioral issues and change your own habits and change your own life to meet the needs of that animal that you decided to take on.
Yeah, let me take a break. I'm going to pick it up when we come back. We'll talk some nuts and bolts and what people can do to actively help today if they can. We're talking to Rob Bremmer, Director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish. I don't mean to get on a soapbox here, but I do believe that there is somebody keeping score of all of this. And your irresponsible actions that lead to the pain of other people, eventually you're going to have to pay for that. I just think that's the way I believe anyway. So you got to breed pets responsibly if that's what you're going to do. And if you can't just let an animal loose and defend on its own, because somebody eventually is going to have to wind up dealing with that. 752, 8 till 8, traffic now, WWL. Back with Rob Bremmer, Director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish, about the no-kill shelter that is filled to capacity, overfilled, really. What can people do to help? What kind of animals are available to be either fostered or adopted? Tell me about that, Rob.
Well, Tommy, we've got so many great animals, big, small. We got them all, man. It's like a doctor's.
7:46 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Nothing just happens, and a lot of people work hard to keep a lot of things moving. in society. And I say that as I'm getting ready to talk to Rob Bremer, director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish. I'll also add before I bring Rob on that every action has a reaction, right? So people that do not have their dogs spayed or neutered, for people that irresponsibly release dogs and dogs that are eventually taken to a shelter, somebody is either going to have to work very, very hard at a no-kill shelter to keep those animals alive, or somebody's going to have to put those animals down, which is not a pleasant task, which means even though you're not at the sad end of that story of irresponsibly letting your animals breed or releasing them, somebody does have to pay that price ultimately. With that, we welcome in Rob Bremer. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, Tommy. How you guys doing today?
I'm all right. Tell me what's going on. Tell me about the shelter, first of all. It's pretty apparent what a no-kill shelter means, but having done some work before and been involved a little bit with no-kill shelters, I know how passionate the people that work there are.
Absolutely. My staff is top notch. I've got a huge team of compassionate animal lovers on my staff. Right now at the shelter, we were over capacity before Francine, and we saw a big old surge come in the day of and the days following Francine, which just pushed us over our limit. You know, our biggest concern at the shelter, we're an open admission shelter, right? So we can't turn parish residents away if they want to surrender it or surrender a stray or one of their own dogs. And we've been kind of treading water for the better part of a year and a half and still making it work, but it's just been, it's been really hard on everyone. We're all very tired, and this recent surge of pets coming in, it put us over our limit. Like I said, we were already over capacity. And you know, no kill is a life-saving philosophy. You know, you're trying to do everything you can for each individual pet and make the best medical and behavioral decisions for them that you can. And as far as placement options, you're looking for the best home for them. You know, we work with rescue partners. Unfortunately, a lot of them are full too. You know, society view on animal ownership is a big spectrum, and it seems like a constant uphill battle. I know my predecessors have been fighting this good fight for many, many years before me, possibly even decades before me. And every time we gain a little ground, then some novelty breed comes around, and then we get flushed with all of the offshoot from the backyard breeding. And that's not a dig at any responsible breeder, but there's a lot of backyard breeding going on, a lot of non-permitted breeding going on, and we definitely need to make sure that we're tending to those things and trying to get on the front end of this problem rather than the back end. Pet overpopulation is a serious issue in the state of Louisiana and across the South, really across the country. You know, there's this perpetuated myth that everything up north is like rainbows and butterflies, and it's not. You know, I speak to my northern partners all the time. They're in the same predicament as us. They seem to have a larger population along the greater metro areas up there, so it just doesn't seem that way. But I know a lot of the focus is on the South, and we definitely need the help. Like I said earlier, you know, we've reached out to a lot of our northern partners. They just can't take what they were taking over the past couple of years from us anymore. They're finding themselves in the same predicament, being over capacity as us. And to get to the main point of all this, being over capacity alone isn't bad in small amounts, but it's a sustained, extended over capacity issue that makes a drop in the quality of care. And you know, everyone at my animal shelter is an animal lover. Nobody wants to euthanize an animal, especially just for space. But ultimately, we have a finite amount of room. We have a finite amount of resources. I mean, there's a whole bunch of complex other issues that go there with staff burnout, you know, losing man hours, losing staff. There are so many things tied into it that put a really big stranglehold on the shelter system. And basically all we're asking, Tommy, is for the community that we serve to help us. You know, animal shelters should be community centers. Animal shelters shouldn't just be a place in the woods where you bring your animals when you don't want them anymore. It should be a a last resort. It should be a safety net for the animals who are truly in bad situations. It shouldn't just be a convenient location to drop off a novelty animal that you wanted for 2 months until it started doing something you didn't want it to do, like peeing on the floor, and then you don't want to address the behavioral issues and change your own habits and change your own life to meet the needs of that animal that you decided to take on.
Yeah, let me take a break. I'm going to pick it up when we come back. We'll talk some nuts and bolts and what people can do to actively help today if they can. We're talking to Rob Bremmer, Director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish. I don't mean to get on a soapbox here, but I do believe that there is somebody keeping score of all of this and your irresponsible actions that lead to the pain of other people. Eventually, you're going to have to pay for that. I just think that's the way I believe anyway. So you got to breed pets responsibly if that's what you're going to do. And if you can't just let an animal loose and defend on its own, because somebody eventually is going to have to wind up dealing with that. 752, 8 till 8, traffic now, WWL. Back with Rob Bremmer, Director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish, about the no-kill shelter that is filled to capacity, overfilled, really. What can people do to help? What kind of animals are available to be either fostered or adopted? Tell me about that, Rob.
Well, Tommy, we've got so many great animals, big, small. We got them all, man. It's like a Dr. Seuss book over here. We've gotten a lot of our adoptables out. Now we're working through our fosterable inventory right now. We've got lots of animals that are waiting to get fixed. As you can probably imagine with how many we had, there's a bit of a backlog on our surgeries. You know, we have our own veterinarian here at the shelter that does all of our surgeries for all of our animals, obviously to help prevent pet overpopulation. But people can still foster through us. There are still animals available for adoption, of course, but people are really encouraged to foster through us, because every time somebody takes an animal into their home and fosters them, even if they can't commit to an adoption, that makes a space in the shelter for the inevitable animal that's going to come in through our open admission system. You know, I tell my staff all the time, you know, never let your guard down, because, I mean, we're one animal cruelty case away from a 50-dog confiscate, 60-cat confiscate, you know.
We run out of time, Rob, how do people get involved? How do they contact you? Where's the shelter?
Sure. We are located at 31078 Highway 36 in Lacombe. It's right between the junctions of 434 and 1088 here in the right smack dab in the middle of St. Tammany in the heart. People can call our telephone line, 985-809-0183. Alternatively, they can email us with any inquiries at animalshelter@stpgov.org. We would love to hear from everybody. We've been swamped the past 2 days with this call. It's been very successful, but we're still not out of the woods yet.
Let's hope we can do you some good. Thank you, Rob. Good luck to you. God bless y'all. We'll be back. Back with Rob Bremmer, Director of the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish, about the no-kill shelter that is filled to capacity, overfilled, really. What can people do to help? What kind of animals are available to be either fostered or adopted? Tell me about that, Rob.
Well, Tommy, we've got so many great animals, big, small. We got them all, man. It's like a Dr. Seuss book over here. We've gotten a lot of our adoptables out. Now we're working through our fosterable inventory right now. We've got lots of animals that are waiting to get fixed. As you can probably imagine with how many we had, there's a bit of a backlog on our surgeries. You know, we have our own veterinarian here at the shelter that does all of our surgeries for all of our animals, obviously to help prevent pet overpopulation. But people can still foster through us. There are still animals available for adoption, of course, but people are really encouraged to foster through us, because every time somebody takes an animal into their home and fosters them, even if they can't commit to an adoption, that makes a space in the shelter for the inevitable animal that's going to come in through our open admission system. You know, I tell my staff all the time, you know, never let your guard down, because, I mean, we're one animal cruelty case away from a 50-dog confiscate, 60-cat confiscate, you know.
We run out of time, Rob, how do people get involved? How do they contact you? Where's the shelter?
Sure. We are located at 31078
Highway 36 in Lacombe. It's right between the junctions of 434 and 1088 here in the right smack dab in the middle of St. Tammany in the heart. People can call our telephone line, 985-809-0183. Alternatively, they can email us with any inquiries at animalshelter@stpgov.org. We would love to hear from everybody. We've been swamped the past 2 days with this call. It's been very successful, but we're still not out of the woods yet.
Let's hope we can do you some good. Thank you, Rob. Good luck to you. God bless y'all. We'll be back.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.